Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, The Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, and if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's track further down the path of
resolution time.
Is that like a video game? Are you going to play resolution?
Like Burger Time? Do you remember Burger Time? Do you remember that game?
Oh, yeah. I have a friend that's obsessed with that game.
Intellivision?
She loves it.
I had Intellivision. Yeah. We didn't have the Atari 2600. We had Intellivision. We were one of them. I was hipsters.
So. I was Commodore 64.
Oh, that's because you're a youngin'. All right. So 2020 has been a shit show, as we all know. And 2021 is right around the corner, which means
it's
New Year's Eve.
It's not going to be any better.
What's that?
It's just a number. It doesn't mean anything.
It's kind of my point for this whole thing. So
resolutions don't make sense either to me because, like, I take that mindset on my birthday. My birthday just happens to be the holiday season anyway. But, like, mm-hmm. I feel like everyone should do that on their birthdays because that's like, it's more personal.
Well, let me go into this, Jake. I mean, I understand that. That's kind of what we're going to talk about, though. The whole concept of a New Year's resolution is pretty silly, right? I mean, for one arbitrary day a year, we can just wipe the slate clean and go from 100% debauchery to like 100% spiritual healer or something. I
guess that's actually kind of cool.
It's not really how the whole universe flows, you know, but I'm sure that someone has stopped a terrible habit or lost 50 pounds starting on January 1st.
Well, look at it this way, though. I think it's a forgiveness thing. I think it's like a universal, like you can forgive yourself because billions of people are allowed on that day to like just go easy on yourself, forgive yourself. I guess that's a good way to start. Like, I think that would be the only plus about it.
Well, I mean,
it's an overall forgiveness thing.
I'm not saying that there's no plus to it. I'm just saying it's, you know, it's got to be taken with a grain of salt. I mean,
yeah.
January 1st, I'm sure that someone has kicked a habit, lost a bunch of weight, like made some lifestyle change that has stuck. But so don't email us with hate mail, but you know, this is just the beginning. We're going to get into something else here. But essentially, it is just one day. And what I'm talking about here and what I'm going to get into is the fact that it's all about real resolutions and the ebb and flow of your life and music and the universe. It's not just about cliffs and, you know, the brick wall effect where all of a sudden you were doing something and the next day you woke up and you literally won the lottery. Now that can happen, right? But it's super hard. Have you won the lottery yet, Jake? I don't know.
I mean,
yes,
you could win scratch tickets. Yeah, like all, but not like the lottery.
But it's not life-changing, right? I mean, it's not life-changing.
No. Just makes you buy more scratch tickets, and eventually you spend more money on buying them than you've ever won.
That's a slow decline. You know, that's what I'm saying. It's not like one day you jumped off a cliff, you know, or one day your life changed. You woke up and it was like down and out in Beverly Hills or something very, very strange happened.
They don't let you be down and out in Beverly Hills.
The same can be said, though, for rapid weight loss fad diets or get rich quick schemes. You know, when people are like, make $1,000 a day from your house. And you're like, oh, that sounds great. I just like being home and playing games. You know, that sounds fun. Or I can lose 50 pounds in a week. Wow. Like But, you know, that sounds great. Let's do that. What's this one called? Like the alien, like foot diet or something. It's like, I don't even know. I don't know, man. I have nothing better than that. But life changes that happen suddenly, they're extremely rare, right? Unless they're forced upon us, like COVID, for instance. That was something that just smacked us in the face. Or you can win the lottery, like I said. But there's a natural flow in the universe, and it has a shape. You know, I was watching this show called Connected, which I think I told you about. It's Latif Nasser's show from Radiolab. He used to work. He wasn't one of the main people with Radiolab, but he used to do segments. He's great. And nice. They did the show on Benford's Law.
Old Benford.
Do you know that? Do you know what Benford's Law is?
Was he a part of Downton Abbey?
No. See, I know you were searching for a joke, and that's not even a good one. All right. So anyway, I'm not going to get into the mathematical details because, you know, I'm a musician, and you could just Google it, and it'll provide you with a better explanation anyway. But basically, the law applies to large sets of numbers and data, and they usually have some connection. So Benford's Law is used literally to detect fraud on tax statements, like the IRS uses it. They can apply this formula.
I don't like this law.
I know. They can apply the formula and see if anything. It basically looks for the natural flow of things. And if numbers jump out in a weird way, it will flag you, and it is amazing at detecting shit. It's crazy. You guys should look it up or see that episode of Connected. I think it's on Netflix. Also, it can detect attacks on election results. It's found bots on social media just by how they format their sentences and things like that. It just sticks out in these large data sets.
There's a hot girl that tries to friend me online. It's usually a bot.
That's Jake's law. That's different.
Yeah.
But this law also applies to structures found in nature. For instance, the size of volcanoes across the globe seem to abide by this. And strangely enough, I saw this physics paper because I was Googling and looking for strange things when researching. It was a Cornell University paper. They analyzed a large selection of classical music from composers like Bach, Beethoven, Mozart, Schubert, and Tchaikovsky. And they found a really surprising connection with mathematics and Benford's Law in particular. So this is kind of one of those things, like if you've ever looked into the golden ratio or things like that, there's a reason why the universe flows in a certain way and speech has a certain kind of pattern, nature has a certain kind of pattern. That's not all Benford's Law. There's a golden ratio and there's a lot of other mathematical equations in this. But for Benford's Law, I thought it was an interesting point about how things flow and what is too good to be true. And this formula, it finds fraud. Like I said, it can find things that are inconsistent with how reality works. And it's not always the case. Oftentimes, not often, but, you know, it'll have a false positive because something did out of the ordinary happened. But in general, it's surprisingly accurate. Where am I going with this, right? So let's get back to the title of the episode, Resolutions. So resolutions are a natural part of music and the observable universe. So let's talk about music. If you write a composition with 5 key changes and you don't set any of them up with a cadence, it'll be jarring, right? Now, it might be an interesting piece of art because it's so strange, but it'll definitely not sound normal. We can all agree to that.
Yeah, we'll have no flow to it. No one's going to want to listen to it.
Right, but I mean, like, for an effect, I'm sure you can pull something like that off and be like, whoa, that's just shocking. I've never heard anything like it before, but it doesn't follow what our ears really want to hear.
No.
Our ears want to hear the cadence to ease the transition between the sections and smooth the curve. And as humans, we love tension and release, right? It's in every movie we watch, no matter what. I mean, you can literally watch Bill and Ted, and there's tension and release, or romantic comedy, or a thriller, or whatever it is. There's always something that happens, and then there's a problem, and then there's a pinnacle, and then it resolves. If you listen to any piece of music, it's essentially the same way, right? You could have a piece of pop music with a verse and a chorus and a bridge. Classical music is a longer form thing, which is really easy to identify this stuff. But in jazz, obviously. And all this stuff can be applied to us when we play music and solo and improvise as well. And some people seem to crave more tension than others. We're not all the same. So Some people crave drama while others want a more even wave. Some people always seem to find drama and date crazy people or find...
I wonder if that has to do with like how crazy their childhood was.
It might, you know. That is so beyond the scope of my expertise.
Because like I can't... like, I grew up in just a chaotic household and it's like I don't like family dramas. I'm like, fuck off. Like, people are like, check out this show. I'm like, it looks like it's just going to be a family drama. I'm good. Yeah. Like, I don't need to see that shit.
Well, that's just because you're just, you know, it'll boost your anxiety.
Yeah, it's just like, I've seen it. I'm good.
Right.
That's not why I watch movies.
Right, but everyone's different, right? A lot of people crave horror movies, or some people do this, but it's also the same, like I said.
Like, metal music and stuff. Like, who likes metal music?
Yeah,
That's always... been weird to me.
But you've always known, you've always had a friend, everyone's always had a friend that like dated crazy people. It could be you know, any sex.
And if you don't have a friend that has dated crazy people, you're that friend.
Yeah, it's you. They're like, oh, who is you know, who are they dating now? Oh no, you know what I mean? Like, not that person. You know. And it's anyway, so some people want more of that than others, and that's okay. But regardless, that's really a part of life in some way or another. With resolutions, a resolution is something that smooths the transition, right? So when people want to change, like we've said in the past, it's going to take work. So we can just go back to our previous episodes and all the guidebooks we've written and talk about the fact that if you want to do something in your career and you want to make a change, that change doesn't happen just because you wake up and it's different. You have to put in the work. You got to do all the work to make a change in order to do it. And sometimes that's hard. There's tension in that.
Well, it's not just one thing. When you're trying to replace a habit with like a better habit, you have to actually go through like a lot of different stuff. You have to go through like stages of like inner issues. If you have like confidence problems, if you have, you know, failure problems, all this like expectation stuff, that's why it's hard. And I think that's why like any long form change, which is basically any change,
yeah,
it like either fails at some point, because like a lot of people can start it, that's the resolution thing, is people will go till like February and then all of a sudden it just goes away.
Right. Like their gym membership. Like they get a year gym membership and stop using it after 4 weeks.
Like I am poster child for that shit. I've been trying to break habits and replace them for like a decade. And some stuff I've just like found along the way. And then I learn new skills and that's awesome. So it's never like all loss, because it might lead you down to some other stuff. But like we were talking about when maybe you need like to talk to someone about stuff, and that's where like therapy comes in. That's why it's like this stuff's hard, because people will just say like, oh, I'm just lazy and that's why I don't do it. But this stuff is so long form that it's like it's not really about laziness. Like no one is too lazy to do like 5 minutes of something in a day. It like has, it's not that at all. It has more to do with like time management than it does laziness.
Yeah, and resistance, right? Too.
And resistance, but it's like it also has like all this stuff you probably have no idea that's going on. That's why a lot of people think everyone should have a therapist to like talk this shit out with. It's weird. Like this just came up like last week. We were talking about this. I was talking about this with a drummer friend and he was like, man, I go talk to someone and it actually helps. Some people think ADHD medication might work. Maybe it's something like that. But yeah, like all this stuff, you know, like you talked about, there's a certain curve to like the universe. There's a lot of shit involved in that.
I mean, it's
like, where do you even start, you know?
Well, I mean, to be honest, there's a lot of ways to start. You know, we just we're going to release the new edition of The Motivated Musician, and I guess on January 1st, and I am just finishing up this article now, which is about kind of the quantum reality, or just finding these quantum problems, essentially finding the core of what the problem is. Like, and yeah. I use an example in the article about me having tendonitis when I was at Manhattan School of Music, and I was practicing 6 to 8 hours a day and playing along with that, and I had a ton of pain.
Basically fucking your hand up.
Yeah, just fucking my hands up. And I had tendonitis in both wrists, and you know, you go to the physical therapist and they give you a bunch of anti-inflammatory drugs, and they, or the doctor does, and the physical therapist gives you some exercises, and you do all these things together, and it never really gets better. It's always kind of under there, under your stronger muscles or whatever you've done, and all these drugs, and the inflammation will come back as soon as you stop taking the drugs. Yeah. Or I mean
that's,
you know,
you can't blame them for stuff like that, because they're not realizing that what you're doing is
wrong
muscle memory. Yeah. And you're going to be doing it every day for the rest of your life. That's the thing. It's like,
people don't even notice when they practice. That.
Like, you'll sit with a guitar and you'll play literally within like 4 minutes, like 6,000 notes.
Yeah. Well,
like,
it's
actually surprising. Like, I remember trying to figure out, like, what the hell, how much am I actually playing right now doing scales with a metronome at like 16th notes? It was thousands, dude, like thousands. your fucking muscles are doing all that shit. Like,
yeah.
That's so much work.
But
like,
it's
just did more work with your hand than like someone will in like a year.
Yeah, but it's not just that. Like, so what I'm getting at here is that, all right, so I went to these physical therapists and I had this stuff. And I had to just start looking inward and getting smaller, like more quantum and more quantum. Like, what is the cause of my pain? Well, the cause of my pain is that I'm practicing 6 to 8 hours a day and then playing after that. But what's the cause of that? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like, okay, well, let me go deeper.
It literally could, like, have been the chair that you were sitting
in. Like, and when you say, all right, the cause of that is like, well, I'm playing a lot of the same things, and I notice that I'm focused, but I'm a little, like, I'm like grinding my teeth, and like my jaw is tense, and I can tell I have tension in my body. Okay, so what's even under that? And then you go and you're like, oh wow, my shoulder's kind of tense, and I'm lifting my arm up and I'm not getting enough blood flow in the angle of my wrist. And then you go under there and you say, and my hands aren't relaxed. And then, like, once you get to the core of it, you're actually, you have this technique that you can build from, this core, this foundation of a house, where you can actually build up proper technique where you can play faster, better, smoother, and possibly, you know, do all these things you could never do and with no pain. So that's kind of where I would go with anything. It's just get small, you know, so it's not overbearing.
Yeah.
It's hard.
That's my problem. It's like, I know how to do all that, but then what happens is, like, now you have to actually implement that in a day. So it's like, say you have a goal, mm-hmm. and you shrink it way down and you make it super manageable. Now there's the issue of like actually like doing that. And then in comes the other problem. The other problem of like, depending on how you grew up and like what your work ethic is and how easily stuff comes to you, it's very fucking hard to do something for 25 minutes a day knowing that it's going to help you 5 years from now. So like, that it's such long form that like, I feel like our brains in 2020, a modern human, like, we can't fucking, it's getting harder and harder and harder to do that. That
is,
to me, that is the fucking problem. That is the main problem.
It's hard. And yeah. But it's not, like you almost said, it's not possible, you know what I mean? And you changed it to hard, and that I think that's the key, is that it's not impossible. And that you really have to focus on the smaller things and mastering those smaller things, because that is something that you can master instantly. Like, if you wanted to do just something very small and technical, you actually would be able to accomplish that in weeks, you know what I mean? Or whatever, or months, and not 5 years. And then if you do another little bite-sized piece and you accomplish that, and then all of a sudden, within 5 years, you're playing craziest shit you've ever imagined, or you wouldn't have imagined, because all this foundational stuff built upon it, and you just make these little small goals that are chunks, you know?
That's the fucking, that's the layering. That's what all this stuff is. It's micro to macro. But so here's the other problem that people come up with now, is the distractions. And we always talked about this. We've done so many, we've talked about this with musicians even. Like, do you have to literally lock yourself in a room with nothing else? Is it a time management thing, as far as like, you're not organized enough, you're not listing stuff out? Or is it just where you are at any given moment? You either throw on Netflix, or you get on your phone, you end up, you know, going down a rabbit hole of ex-girlfriends. Like, what what are those problems? Well, and like, what the hell are you supposed to do about that?
I think the first thing
is you have to focus for any of this shit to work.
Yeah. I mean, look at your phone at the end of the day. I know that I don't have any specific apps installed, but if you look at the Android operating system or iOS, it'll say your screen time and like,
it'll be like, you fucking wasted your day.
And like,
that's what it should just say.
If it says something like under 4 hours, you're going to be like, oh, that was pretty good. That's how bad.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. Exactly. You know,
that's half a day of work.
Exactly. Imagine the amount of stuff you could do in 4.5 hours or whatever it is. And you're saying you don't have 5 minutes to.
And honestly, this is where the therapy comes in. Like, because now, you know, being the modern humans that we are, we already have an addiction that we have to fight our lives for by the time we're like 10.
Well,
like, yeah. Well, yeah.
Depends who your parents are.
But yeah, you know what I mean, though? Like, whatever. Yeah. By the time you actually try to do something serious in your life that's, like, long form and not just building a fort in the backyard, like, you already have to overcome an addiction every fucking day to make that happen. Like, I've lost so much because of that. And I wasn't even... When I started practicing, I didn't have that. So, like, I was doing all right for a while, you know? But and then you start playing and you go out and then you start meeting people and then... Your life is now social, and then social media was ushered in.
Yeah, and social
I've been on plateau since fucking, you know, 2002. I've plateaued because I can't. It's hard to like now break that addiction and then become a fucking musician inside of that. Like,
it's tricky,
we're actually fighting a lot, and things in life like aren't excuses, but they're fucking real. Like, that's a real problem. You know, it's already hard enough to fucking be a good musician.
You have to find time, though. You have to figure out whatever works for you. If it's one of those sobering moments where you look at your phone, if anyone's listening to this podcast and they look and they see that they spent 6 hours and change on their phone or whatever, I mean...
That's everybody, dude.
I know, but once you see that, it's sobering because it's not lying to you. The phone is not lying. Like, you literally have done something for that amount of time, and you could have been working on any of these things. So... If we bring this full circle or back to resolutions, I mean, what I'm talking about is the fact that there is, even in mathematics or in life, there is very, very rarely a line on a graph that goes from 0 to 100, like one day. I mean, it can, like, you know, for instance, if Tesla just announced a public stock, or like, you know, everyone buys it one day and they didn't the other, or if news breaks out that a drug can cure cancer, that pharmaceutical company in the stock market will rise. There are things in the world that create spikes, but it's not as often as you think. You know, Benford's law knows that. And the truth is that musicians know it. In music, they certainly do. If you're taking a solo and you are just playing the same thing, going with like the same dynamics, and there's no like building of ideas or tension or anything, by the end of the solo, you're going to be bored. The audience is going to be bored. Like, you know, it's going to be boring. Whereas, and I'm not even talking, and it's sometimes more subtle. There's people that play very mellow, like someone like B.B. King. It's not like he's starts with 2 notes and then goes to 1,000 notes. He's still B.B. King, but
I always call him B flat King.
But
that's why you have to capitalize both letters.
That's
otherwise
true.
You back him into a corner, you know?
Yeah, he's B flat
King. And he does love B flat, but you know.
But he's a guitarist. He likes all the other keys too. So my point being is that, you know, B.B., it's not like he's going to technically play 1,000,000 notes towards the middle or do that, but he has his way of building his tension and just phrasing and being melodic like a conversation. So, I mean, there's art to all of this, but cadences are a huge part of music. And having that in your compositions and in your storytelling musically is going to make you a more, I don't know,
I mean, storytelling
like
it's gradual. That's why they call character arcs, you know, like they're curves. They're not called character fucking... like, it's not insane. It's an arc.
Yeah.
You know what I think, too, about resolutions is they work because you have a group wanting to do all these things at the same time. So that's what basically pushes people. It's like a group mindset. So I think, you know, you use that as a diving board as your resolution, which is good. It's a good thing. but you have to get like a close friend or a couple close friends. You have sort of like how AA works. Like you have to have people that you can call that are going to after the same thing. Like, mm-hmm. what do they call them? Like, I mean, they call them sponsors in AA, but like, what do they call that when you're trying to make a change in your life? You have people that you call on and they do the same thing.
Mentors?
Yeah. I mean, it's basically like a partnership. You know what I mean? Okay. Like if my goal right now is to like learn how to play through Giant Steps and improvise it, you know, and all this stuff. And like, we would do it at the same time.
Oh.
Like I would hit you up at like 3 in the afternoon and be like, hey, did you practice those changes today?
Someone,
you
know, you're like, you're like colleagues in action.
Yeah. I forget what there's a name for it, but like, I think if you can have that in your life, I think that's a huge thing to do, but you have to like stay on top of each other.
Right. Or you know, join.
Otherwise, you're taking it alone. And when that group mentality goes away, mm-hmm. come February, you're just not going to go to the fucking gym anymore.
All right. And there are groups online where people do talk to each other.
Yeah.
Like I've mentioned the jazz guitar forum, I think, in the guidebooks, which is a good one. And I've checked it out before. And I'm a bass player, obviously, but it's great. And there's a good community of people that help each other. There are other ones. I mean, it depends on what you're interested in, but there's all kinds of Reddit groups and forums, yeah. and there's even a Peter Bernstein study group, and they help each other. And Pete does some stuff with them.
Awesome.
Yeah, so there's definitely that. You know, we can't have as much interaction physically, but what Jake said is applicable. You know, you can definitely get in touch with your friends and say like,
it's just accountability.
What if we all make a pact? You know what I mean? To do these things like every week, and we'll check in with each other and bust each other's balls. I mean, when I lived in International House in Manhattan School of Music back in the day.
When you lived in the Pancakes?
Yeah, exactly. It was called International House. It was like the dorm for Manhattan School of Music because they didn't have one. Damn, and we were just like in the middle.
Nerd dorm.
Yeah, it wasn't. It was like just crazy. And Al Street, my good friend, was across the hall, and we used to just hang out all the time, and we would check each other. So we would go through this book. It was called Hindemith's Elementary Training
for
Musicians. Yeah. So yep. If you ever want to...
Sight singing.
Woo! Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot of atonal stuff, man.
It's really hard. Hindemith's Elementary Training for Musicians, which is like a slap in the face.
Elementary,
that it's called.
My ass. Fuck that.
So we would do it with each other, and we would like, you know... We would vibe each other when we got it wrong. Like, it was funny, you know, we'd be like, you know. So, yeah, so we would just get into a room and do some of the exercises in that book, and it was super difficult. And checking each other on that and on some other things that we were learning at the time, we'd do play-alongs together because he was a guitarist and I was a bass player. And we would...
I mean, college is literally, like, that's the only reason...
That's the best part of it.
Yeah. Should pay for college. It's just, it's a fucking accountability.
And without that, if you're doing it virtually, it's really, like, really not getting the full experience.
Yeah. But any sort of accountability, like, anything. You just have to have someone be like, yeah, you need to do that today.
Yeah.
Or fuck you, you know?
And when we had Ruslan on the show, he did this thing where he wanted to be accountable for doing something that he would back out of. So what he did was he announced to all his followers that he was going to do these improvisations for like an hour live on, you know, via YouTube streaming.
Yeah.
And by announcing it and getting feedback from people, he backed himself into having to do it. He was like, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have done it. Like, I know myself, or I would have done it and like got 10 minutes in and said, boring.
Like you play your strengths and weaknesses. For him, like being lame to people isn't something he wants to be. So like if he fucking says something publicly, like he'll do it. Otherwise he'll feel fucking lame as shit.
And
like that's important to him.
Yeah.
So it's like that's what gets him to do it. You know, you could set yourself up like that as dangerous. That's a dangerous game. But, you know, see what you can do.
Yeah. But I mean, in general, if we even try to tie this thing back to, you know, the original point of resolutions, which we're all kind of in the same ballpark, this episode might not pass Benford's Law because we've kind of moved around quite a bit. But, you know, that's what happens during the holidays. We're all a little scattered. That being said, it does all relate in the fact that if you don't resolve your things properly in life or in music, they're not going to... they're not going to feel the right way, they're not going to end the right way, and they're not going to yield the right results. So, you know, with all that being said, you just have to work on little things and to make big changes. I think that's kind of what it is, right? Work on this, work on the little things to make big changes. That's kind of like a bumper sticker.
Yeah. But like, that's the easy part. It's, you gotta fucking figure out how to do it every day. That's it. Like, that's, and you have to actually focus on it. The more focus you have, the less time you could spend on it too. So it's like, you know, if you have to shut your phone off and shut your TV off and like, just, you just gotta be there for say 10 minutes and just do something fucking something useful, then that's going to be way better than you trying to do something for 2 hours. You just wasted 2 hours and maybe you got 2 minutes of focus out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to sort of just like be super mathematical about it.
And the reason we made the guidebook slash workbook, The Motivated Musician, that we talk about in the beginning of these episodes, is to keep people on track. So that's kind of where we're going with all this. You know, this episode, essentially, we start with this whole New Year's resolution thing, and, you know, which is kind of like you just start fresh one day.
And just trying to hold people accountable.
Yeah. And, you know, in our guidebook, we try to keep people accountable and moving in the right direction and motivated every month. That's kind of the point. And the point I'm trying to give here is that don't wait for New Year's. Don't wait for your birthday, Jake. Don't wait for anything. Just start now and keep doing a little bit each day, because it's a hell of a lot easier and more natural, and it will follow Benford's law. If you do a little bit each day to further your cause, it's a lot better than waking up one day and realizing that you have to do everything all at once and you have no idea where to start, because that doesn't really follow logic.
Then you just get a guilt hangover on January 1st. You're like, oh God, I'm supposed to do things.
Yeah. And it won't work.
Too many things last night.
And that's why you have panic attacks. Like, that's why people are so anxious, because like, they realize that they have like 50 things to do that they haven't done. They've been putting off.
New Year's resolution is raise that baby that you probably made last night.
No. But I'm going to just skip right by.
I got 9 months.
No. But, you know, and when you were saying that people think, oh, I'm just lazy or blah, 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 it's like, a lot of that's resistance. You know, I mean, you can be lazy, but resistance can be construed as lazy if it's not seen the right way. Meaning that you can just be like, oh, I'd rather play video games than like send this really important email to my boss about getting a raise. But that doesn't mean that you're lazy. It just means that like you really don't want to do that and you really rather play video games. So there is a fine line there. And the same with practicing. Like, you could be like, yeah, I'm just lazy. I don't really feel like learning how to play through Giant Steps, for instance. But again, it's a hard thing to tackle. It's not about being lazy. It's just about being like, you'd rather,
hard as fuck.
Yeah, you'd rather just play months. Like, you know, Stairway to Heaven on the guitar and like sound really good at it than play something you don't sound good at. So with all this being said, we want to wish you happy holidays. You know, this is happening just after
That's
Christmas.
Where we're going with that.
Oh yeah, we're just
happy holidays.
Yeah, we're gonna make this joyous. We should put some Christmas music in here too, just to insert it.
Yeah, we could
it.
Do that.
Yeah. All right. So happy
get our sound effects crew in there.
Happy holidays. Merry Quanzicamas. So that covers many that are happening now. And happy New Year. And remember that you can make your resolutions and do all that, but just stick with it and don't decide, like, don't make your resolution to like, you know, I'm going to change the world this year, you know, something huge. Just do small steps each day. Get in a routine and build upon it and be a better player.
Routine is everything.
Yeah. Be a better player, everything. A better person. So, yeah, good luck in 2021. And we hope that it's better than 2020, because it would be hard to be as bad as 2020. So, Happy New Year.
Peace.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail, you can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.